Welcome to the I Have ADHD podcast, where it's all about education, encouragement, and coaching for adults with ADHD. I'm your host, Kristen Carter, and I have ADHD. Let's chat about the frustrations, humor, and challenges of adulting, relationships, working, and achieving with this neurodevelopmental disorder. I'll help you understand your unique brain, unlock your potential, and move from point A to point B. Hey, what's up? This is Kristen Carter, and you are listening to the I Have ADHD podcast. I am medicated. I am caffeinated. I am regulated, even though I am running late today, and I am ready to roll. It is so good to be with you here on this podcast today. It is snowing in Pennsylvania. I left late to come to work, and the roads were horrible, and so I was late for this interview. And you know what? Sometimes you just leave late when you should have left a whole lot earlier. And that's where we're at today. Luckily, I have a very empathetic and kind human that I'm interviewing on the other end here. And it is my personal coach, Brian Elliott. Brian has been a life source for me for the last 2, maybe 3 years. She started out as exclusively as like a cash flow bookkeeping coach. And then I loved her so much. I was like, can you please be my personal coach? And she's been coaching me on business. She's helped me transition in so many phases of my business, but also my personal life. I can't say enough about how much support she's provided for me. And so today we're going to talk about saying sorry. Why do we say sorry? When should we say sorry? When is it appropriate? When is it not? And actually, how is it like sometimes detrimental to us to always be in sorry mode? What I love about Brian, well, so many things, but also she's Canadian. And so she's going to say sorry.
I'm going to say, you will hear the sorry come out strong today, everyone.
You're going to hear it real thick. And I love it so much. You're going to hear the difference in the American and Canadian way of saying sorry. And I love that. I love that because this podcast is for everyone. So, Brian, thank you for being here. Welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, I am a life coach. I'm a business and life coach. And I also work as a fractional CFO or cash flow advising coach. And that's some of the work we started at with together. Mm-hmm. So I do love numbers and I do love seeing and helping people kind of beef up their CEO energy or CFO energy and kind of make decisions for their companies and their business. And I absolutely love what I do as a coach. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. When I'm not coaching, I am a mother of 6. So I am in crazy mayhem, I guess, all the time. And I'm married to a wonderful supportive partner that helps with all that craziness. We get to, you know, go through that together. Mm-hmm. I like being active. I like being outdoors, hiking, being in the mountains, doing CrossFit, whatever can keep me busy, I definitely enjoy doing. I currently live in Montana and I've lived in America now for probably 16 years, but I was born and raised in Canada. And so you will hear my sorry and other portions of that accent come through. I kind of call myself a Camerican because, you know, the Canadian American. But yeah, I'm so excited to be here today and to be talking about this topic. It's something that has just been more recently introduced to me through my brother, actually. Mm. And I've had a month or so now to kind of think on the topic and kind of play with this a little bit, this concept. So I hope it'll be really helpful to your listeners and be something that is good influence for them.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were telling me the story about your brother-in-law and like how it was impacting you, immediately the words that came out of my mouth were, you need to come on the podcast and share this, because saying sorry constantly and essentially apologizing for existing as a human is something that I know most ADHDers are going to relate to. And it's something that I have been really working on in my own life, is like standing in my own authority, even when I'm late, even when I do show up in my humanity, not necessarily always apologizing. And so when and how did this become something that you were thinking about? What's the story behind it for you?
Yeah, well, my oldest brother is, we call him like the philosopher of our family. He's constantly thinking of things and coming up with ideas and calling us and being like, what do you think about this? And so my sister actually has a podcast. And so he called her and said, I have an idea you have to talk about on your podcast. And she's like, okay, what's he got today? You know, but he said, you know, people need to stop saying sorry. And so he just basically explained to her that my sister-in-law had a cancer diagnosis a few years ago and pretty aggressive cancer. And so during all of her chemo and all of her radiation and all of this, she was, you know, obviously quite ill and sick and couldn't take care of her normal, you know, duties around the house, helping with things around the house and taking care of herself. She even needed a lot of care. And so as she's, you know, at home and he's helping and taking care and having to do, you know, the bulk of the work, she started to just be like, I'm so sorry that you have to do this for me. And I'm so sorry that you have to take care of that laundry. And I'm so sorry you have to help me with this thing. And he started to notice that he was starting to get angry. Every time she'd say it, he started to get resentful and angry. And he hated, he didn't like that. Like, he was like, why am I getting so angry? And so one day when she said sorry, he went back to the kitchen and thought, why am I so angry? What is it she's really trying to say to me? And when he really thought about it, he realized what she's really trying to say is thank you. Right? Like, yes, she feels bad, right? In quotations, so to speak, that I'm having to do this. But really, it's not like she chose this. She didn't choose, hey, I want to have cancer and make it really negatively impact our lives. You know, right. This is just something that's happened. She didn't choose it. And so really what she's trying to say, or could just say, is thank you. And so he went back to her and said, listen, don't say sorry anymore. You can say thank you when I'm doing anything, because you're not making me do these things. I am choosing to do them, right? Even if they are extra work, just say thank you. And let's just leave it at that. And so, you know, they started to do that, and she would still say sorry sometimes, and he'd be like, nope, we're saying thank you. And he'd remind her. And he said he couldn't believe how different he felt with it, how much he wasn't angry anymore. He felt like, yeah, she's grateful for the help. And yeah, I'm doing this thing. And isn't that good? And it changed his relationship with sorry and their relationship together as they progressed working through this illness. So he took it one step further. He runs a siding company and an exteriors company for homes. And he said what he noticed is when clients would call and they were angry because something wasn't right or needed to be corrected, the first thing he usually would say is, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But he said instead what he started to say is, thank you so much for calling and bringing this to my attention. That's the first thing he would say. And he said he couldn't believe the shift in how him and the clients could work together after that. They were way more patient with the process. They were way more willing to work with him and to get the things fixed instead of, I'm sorry, being that like first response. So as you know, as he shares this story on my sister's podcast and has talked to us about it, you know, I started to think about this in my own life and started to think about, man, how many times have I said I'm sorry when that wasn't really the warranted response.
Yeah. I'm blown away by that, because what's so fascinating, and I'm kind of doing like a self intake. What's so fascinating is when you are apologizing for, let's go back to like your sister-in-law's cancer and him, your brother taking care of her. When you're apologizing for something that is not actually a moral failing, you didn't cross a line, you haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
You put the other person in a position to have to like take care of you additionally. No, it's okay. I'm fine. Don't worry. It's almost like this additional burden. And so like he's already carrying the burden. This extra burden of caring for her and doing things that he wouldn't normally do, that she would literally prefer to do herself, right? She would so much prefer to be taking care of this herself, but she's unable to. So he's already carrying a much larger burden. And then her apologizing puts him in a position to take care of her even more and to say, no, it's okay. I'm okay. You're fine. And I have been in that position where people apologize for things that are not actually wrongdoings, but I can tell they just want me to take care of them.
Right.
And I'm not saying, I think the people that I'm referring to are actually using it as a manipulation tactic. And I do not think that was the case for your sister-in-law at all, but I think it can be used as a manipulation tactic. I'm sorry. I'm such a terrible fill in the blank. And then you have to say, no, you're not. You're not. I love you. You're doing great. I'm sorry. This was such a bad fill in the blank. And no, it puts you in this really uncomfortable position of having to take care of the other person. And that can get tiresome.
Yeah, it does get tiresome. And that's exactly it, is often we're doing this because we have, and we'll discuss this in a bit too, we have this either negative self-image of ourselves, or this right. self-pity almost that's coming through, or we just don't feel good. And when we say sorry, if the other person will reassure us,
yes,
then it helps us feel like, okay, well, now how bad do I have to feel based on how they reassure us,
yes.
right? So it's still seeking this external validation or external ruler of yep. well, how bad do I really have to feel? Because if you say, I'm just so sorry, and they're like, yeah, you know, it's a real hassle, and they walk off, then you really feel terrible, right? But it when you say sorry and it's not exactly warranted, and this is something, you know, definitely we'll discuss at the end too, is you'll notice that no one really feels better. Like when my sister-in-law is saying to her husband, right? Like, I'm so sorry. And listen, I did the same thing. I had 2 knee surgeries and a broken wrist within 6 months. The amount of sorries that came out of my mouth to my poor husband during that time, right? But like, I'm sitting there being like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I don't feel better even after I say right. it. And he's being like, no, it's okay. It's okay. And he's probably not feeling better.
Right.
Versus like, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for putting the kids to bed tonight while I'm stuck yeah. in this bed in agony with this broken wrist, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. and then he can decide, but you both go away feeling better or at peace usually yeah. when it's used in an appropriate way. Yeah.
I just need to say, you might think that I am a heartless, heartless person for laughing when she said she had 2 knee surgeries and a broken wrist. And I
but it's laughable. Kristen lived with me through all of that.
I lived through that, and it was just one thing after another, and it did become comical. And I hope that you know how much I felt so terrible for you, but also the moment that she showed up to our Zoom call with the broken, like her hand, her whole arm was in the thing. And I was like, what? I mean, it just became, I am feeling the urge to apologize to all of the listeners. I promise I have empathy, and I promise that I adore this woman who's sitting in front of me, but
it really was laughable. It was laughable. So no apologies needed. We definitely, I mean, I knew she got on the call and I just looked like, here we go. Let's go. This is it. Try to talk about yourself and let me coach you with my big, huge arm. But we did. Okay.
So you've come up with 6 different types of sorries
yeah.
that we humans will often interact with. Can you go through those for us? Like, what are the different types of ways that we use the word sorry or I'm sorry?
Yeah, sure. Forbes says, like, you know, based on your upbringing, the automatic response when we do something wrong is to apologize with the word sorry. So it says, unfortunately, while this is instinctual, which I think sorry is so instinctual for so many of us, it isn't always the right action. And it can affect your self-esteem, actually. There's studies that show it'll affect your self-esteem if you say it too much. And I think for people with ADHD, so this is, I think, very valid for your, you know, audience for sure, is that it's even more of an issue because you get lots of, you are impacting me negatively feedback.
Yeah.
Right. And you've been prone to saying sorry, even when it's not really warranted. So here's the kind of 6 ways that I thought about, like, what are the ways we constantly kind of say sorry that feel warranted and may not be? So the first one is, it's the cultural one. So as we've mentioned, I'm Canadian. Okay. So in Canada, we say sorry more than Americans do. It's a cultural thing. In fact, there are studies that show that Brits, and I would say Canadians and Brits are pretty similar on this. They say, like, for every 10 American sorries, a Brit would say 16 sorries. There would be more.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's actually the cultural sorry, which is just how your culture uses that word. So in Canada, if I was at the grocery store and someone bumped into me, I would say sorry and step out of the way. Even though, right, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't bump into them, but I would say sorry and step out of the way. So yeah. There's the cultural sorry. Okay. So that's just going to be something that happens and that we all use. Then there's the negative self-image sorry. We kind of had touched on that. So sometimes when we're apologizing, it's because of our own thoughts about ourselves. I'm a hassle. They're kind of these self-pity thoughts, right? I'm a hassle. I get things wrong. I annoy people. So what we're really saying is we say sorry, but we're really just reflecting something about ourselves. It's really not a sorry. It's a self-reflective kind of a sorry. And so it's not really a genuine apology.
Yep.
It's not really truly for the other person. It's really us just expressing this self, this negative view of ourselves or this negative belief of who we are. And that's the one that we discussed where it warrants this validation. Like, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Like so reassurance seeking. I loved how you said that. And I see that in some relationships, the need for reassurance, instead of saying, I'm feeling really insecure. Are you upset with me? Mm-hmm. Is there anything we need to talk about? Instead of being vulnerable in that way, you say, sorry. And then wait for the other person to reassure you.
Yes. And the reassurance they're going to give you and the type of conversation you will have from the way you just said it, right? From this very vulnerable and open, like, hey, I'm feeling like I need some reassurance here. I'm struggling with this. That's going to open a whole different conversation and a whole different set of honesty compared to we're kind of skirting the issue over here with, hey, sorry, I'm me. And they're like, no, it's fine that you're you.
Right.
And we both kind of are sitting here with this idea like, but there's probably something wrong with you, right? Like that's not really helping anyone.
Yeah.
My sister and I both have 15-year-old daughters right now. So, you know, 15-year-old daughters, they are lovely, but they can go through some self-pity stages and they've got lots to tell you and lots to complain about and be sad about. And sometimes my daughter will say, you know, and my sister's daughter, they'll both, you know, during conversations be like, I'm so sorry you have to sit here and listen to me complain about this. I'm so sorry. Right. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being like, hey, this is when you say thanks for, thanks mom. Like my daughter went late to school one day. She had slept in and I was driving her to school. I'm so sorry you have to drive me, mom. I said, you know what? You can just say thanks, mom, because you didn't force me to drive you. And she was like, oh, okay. Thanks for driving me to school, mom. It was like this question mark, but it felt so much better for me too. Like I felt so much better for her to say like, thank you instead of so sorry. Right. So that noticing that this negative self-image sorry isn't really the appropriate use for sorry.
It's
just kind of this word we've thrown in. So another one is the relational impact sorry. So this is the one that's probably more common, right, with ADHD because we impact each other so much in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we have this built-in concept for some reason, I think, that we shouldn't negatively impact each other as humans.
For sure.
Right? But that doesn't make any logical sense.
Oh, interesting.
We are going to positively and negatively impact each other. Mm-hmm. Now, there are extremes where obviously we're talking about things like abuse and manipulation and things. Those are different. But in general, we are just going to sometimes have negative impact on each other. I'm going to spill milk all over the table and it's going to cover someone else's plate. Like this is going to happen. But my example is when I was in labor, I mean, I've done this 6 times. So I did that a lot. You'd think I would become a pro, but for some reason, when I get in pain, I become very apologetic. And so the whole time I was, and maybe there's lots of therapy or something to be done around that.
I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're diving into that.
Kristen's brain, she's like, ooh. But I, for some reason, felt like I was putting out the nurses. Like, as long as they could just come in, check my vitals, check on me, everything was fine and leave. Like, that's the baseline of their job. And if I made them do anything above that because I was in agony, that I was somehow being a negative impact on their job that day.
Right.
So the more pain I got in and the more assistance I needed, the more I would apologize. I would be literally in a contraction going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'd be holding the nurse's hand. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm squeezing her hand. Right. And it's because I had this idea, like I should be in labor and not negatively impacting her workday, even though this literally is what her workday was for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But we just get this idea. And I think it can come from feedback around us. Right.
Yes.
If you have ADHD, you've definitely had feedback on like not being able to sit still enough is impacting this classroom. Now, no one can hear because you're not being quiet enough or your emotions are impacting our ability to have a really easy time today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like you get a lot of this negative feedback around it. And so I think we start to internalize and feel like we have to apologize for having impact on each other, which isn't really appropriate.
It's so interesting because my brain really wants to resist what you're saying. I want to say back to you, no, that's not reality. I should be easy for people to be around constantly. And it's so wild. This just happened this morning.
I'm going to tell a story.
We have a snowblower. When we moved into our new house, we purchased a snowblower. And we haven't used it. It's been sitting in the garage. We moved into a new house. It's got a much longer driveway. It's just like a lot more. And my husband was like, listen, I'm not going to shovel heavy snow in this driveway. We're going to get a snowblower. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Since shoveling is not usually my responsibility, I'm just like, I don't really know why we need this, but that's fine. Yeah. So it's been sitting in our garage and it snowed today. And I thought we were going to use the snowblower. Like, I thought he would just go out there, snowblow it. It would take 15 minutes. Like, I've never used one. I have no idea. And he was like, no, snowblowers are for like 6 inches of snow or more, not for like, and I got so mad. I got so mad. I got so dysregulated. I walked away from him. Like, it was so not cute, but I was so dysregulated. And because I was just like, wait, what? Like, we're shoveling and we have this snowblower in the garage. And like, why do we even buy it in the first place? Like, I'm going crazy on the inside. And before I left today, I mean, we talked about it, whatever, but before I left today, I said, I'm sorry for the impact that my dysregulation had on your morning. Like, I could not get my body under control because I could not accept the reality. It was like this new reality that was given to me of like, no, we don't snowblow for 4 inches. I think it's 4 inches right now. We don't snowblow right. for 4 inches. It has to be like much bigger. And I was just like, what is this new reality that you're presenting to me? And my body was freaking out. And I took it out on him in that I just like walked away. And then he was like, excuse me, like, what's happening here? So we're going to get to this, like the appropriate times. But when you say like not having to say sorry for negatively impacting, my brain goes like, no, the poor man was like literally eating his Honey Nut Cheerios. And I freaked out-ish. And so that deserves an apology. So can you just like help me with that reframe?
Sure. I think if we'd reframe it from the perspective of even when we're doing our best, and we're going to say that maybe that wasn't your best moment, but also Kristen Carter didn't say to herself, do you know what I want to do? I'm just going to freak out real hardcore right now, right? Even when we're doing our best, we come up short and fall short and we are humans.
So true.
So we're going to, even when we're doing our best, dysregulate sometimes. And we're going to have these moments. Now, when we dysregulate, if we, and I don't know the extent, if we storm off from our spouse angry and slam a door, that would bring an appropriate time to come back and say, hey, I want to apologize about storming off and slamming a door.
Right, it's different
than being like, I'm sorry that my dysregulation impacts you, because everyone dysregulation impacts each other. And yes, I think the thing with ADHD people is they're so much more attuned to their dysregulation.
Yeah.
The emotional sensitivity that you have to notice very small, subtle changes in your interior compared to those without, right?
Yeah.
And so I think just noticing that it always feels so big to the person who's dysregulated and experiencing it. But really, so do we need to apologize for impacting each other? No. Do we need to apologize when maybe I called you a name and I was angry or I freaked out or I stormed off? Yeah, that's appropriate to say, I'm sorry that I chose this behavior, but like, hey, I'm sorry that I impact you when I'm dysregulated. That's tricky. Like, right?
So maybe that's really much, that's very like, I'm sorry for being human.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for being the type of human that I am.
Yes. Sorry for being not an easy person all the time. And I think the way you started this was beautiful when you said, the reason I want to come up against it is this internal idea that I should be easy.
Yes.
That's the thing that is showing you that that impact. And listen, I feel the same way. We talk about no trace camping, right? Like you go into the wilderness and somehow you go camp in the wilderness and don't leave a sign that you were there. I don't know how.
Right.
I try to do no trace living all the time.
Wow.
And I think with ADHD, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD and I don't really identify with it, but I have 3 children with it. And there are lots of things I do identify with ADHD. But what I do identify with is this idea of small and unnoticed is best.
Yes.
And that's so then apologizing for not being small and unnoticed all the time isn't helping. It's just confirming the idea to our brain, I'm doing something wrong by not being small and unnoticed.
Mm. Oh, that's so good. All right, take us to the next one. What's the next type
the
of
next
sorry?
The next one is the considerate sorry. Mm. It just sounds so considerate. Like it just sounds like this very polite, considerate thing, right? We want the other person to know we feel bad about just like, oh, it's like almost like, okay, this is hilarious. Can I tell everyone? Because Kristen was saying she was late today. And so she texted me and she's just like, I did leave late, but also, and she sent me a picture of the roads, right? Being so bad. And I burst out laughing. Now, I was so happy because she didn't say sorry. when she sent it, right? But the we have this idea like it's just considerate and polite to just be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
I left late and there's a snowstorm. But we always think we just have to like kind of preface with the I'm so sorry just because it's considerate and polite to do so.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it would be impolite. And I don't know if I had a conscious thought about it, but I do agree that like it would have been totally acceptable for me to say, so sorry, running late.
Yes.
You know, here's why.
Mm-hmm.
But also like I left late. It was a conscious choice to leave late. Like yeah. Everything was late today. And really the fight with Greg is what did it.
I mean, it was a snowblower. If you had just said the snowblower, I would have known. I would have been like, of course.
It's the snowblower's fault. But yeah, that's so true. It's just the urge.
Yeah.
To say, so sorry. So sorry to inconvenience you.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Hey, Kristen here. I'm the host of this podcast, an ADHD expert and a certified life coach who's helped hundreds of adults with ADHD understand their unique brains and make real changes in their lives. If you're not sure what a life coach is, let me tell you. A life coach is someone who helps you achieve your goals like a personal trainer for your life. A life coach is a guide who holds your hand along the way as you take baby step after baby step to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. A good life coach is a trained expert who knows how to look at situations, all situations, with non-judgmental neutrality and offer you solutions that you've probably never even considered before. If you're being treated for your ADHD, and maybe even you've done some work in therapy, and you want to add to your scaffolding of support, you've got to join my group coaching program, Focused. Focused is where functional adults with ADHD surround each other with encouragement and support. And I lead the way with innovative and creative solutions to help you fully accept yourself, understand your ADHD, and create the life that you've always wanted to create, even with ADHD. Go to ihaveadhd.com/focused to join. And I hope to see you in our community today.
I don't actually apologize for being late anymore because for me, it's not an inconvenience when someone else is late.
Right.
I actually celebrate. I love it. I love having an extra couple minutes. I love, even if I'm in a restaurant by myself waiting for someone, I don't care. Like I'm happy to be with me and my phone or whatever. So yeah, I don't apologize for being late anymore because I actually love it when people are late. So I don't assume that other people don't love it.
Yeah. And I think we use this like considerate sorry as like, hey, I'm just showing, it's like, just like, this is the polite thing we do versus it's just as considerate to sit down and be like, thank you so much for waiting and then pull out your menu. Right.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Love it. Awesome. So glad that you're here. Right. So just noticing like some of this is like, we do it because we're like, no, but it feels considerate or it feels polite.
Yeah,
right.
I'd feel rude if I didn't say it.
Yeah. I'd feel just rude if I didn't say it. So that's another one. And the next one is the societal sorry. This is what we're trained into as children. Say sorry to your brother, you took their toy, right? You hurt so-and-so's feelings, say sorry. We're just taught, like as parents, it's like, and as teachers and as adults, we are trying to help our children be good humans. And we just sometimes teach them to say sorry when it's really not warranted, it's not appropriate, or it's just to make us feel better. Like, listen. There are times where children are taught to say sorry. So, because then the parent believes now they get it.
Yes.
Until they say sorry, they don't really understand the impact. So once this child actually says sorry, oh, now they get it.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but really we're not teaching them like the true meaning and the proper use of sorry. Yeah. And so I think we get just trained as children to just say sorry a lot.
Agreed.
You just
do. I know that I did that with my children, and I will take it one step further and say, I think sometimes parents have their kids say sorry to people, please.
Yes.
The other adult that's there.
Yep.
So I want to make sure that the other adult knows that I know that my child's behavior was inappropriate, even though they're a kid.
Right.
Oh gosh, if I could go back and do it differently.
Right.
But anyway, so I want my child to say sorry so that the other adult still likes me.
Yeah.
So that the other adult thinks I'm a good mom. So the other adult knows that like I'm considerate and that's such a people pleasing. Oh, I hate it.
Yes.
I hate that I did that.
we definitely say sorry to people, please. We do, like you said, to help them, because this is actually the next one, which is the perfect lead-in is to stop the negative judgment story.
Yes.
It's that's why we say sorry. It's to stop the negative judgment. It's the people pleasing one. It's the one where if I say sorry, then they are going to believe I'm a good mother who's teaching her children appropriately, right? If I say sorry, then they're not going to judge these tendencies. Maybe if you're ADHD, the fact that I'm late all the time, if I just say sorry, they're maybe not going to judge me so harshly on being late, right?
Yep.
Or on not making that phone call that I was supposed to make, or, you know, not getting, like, your husband comes home, you're like, I'm so sorry, the kitchen's still a mess, right? It's like the apology for that, right? Instead of just like, listen.
I mean, if you are watching this, like, I wish you could hear my body language right now.
Yeah.
The amount of times that I apologized for just being a human mother with human children. I'm sorry dinner's not made. And Greg would look at me like confused, like, why are you apologizing for that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry the house is a mess. And he's just like, yeah, you've been home with the kids all day. Like, he never would understand where that was coming from. I think it was people pleasing. I think it was all of it wrapped in
Right.
Like in those moments, I think there was like major overlap of like wanting to people please, wanting to not negatively impact him with what, like his own children, wanting to get reassurance of like, no, you worked hard today. Like, obviously being home with the kids is hard. And like, it's no problem. Like, all of that balled into one, like, sorry, dinner's not made. Like,
right.
Oh gosh.
Yes. And so that was kind of that last one is like, we do try to manage and control people's judgments or thoughts about us through sorry as well, which is kind of fascinating that we do it.
I want you to say more on that. Like, if I say sorry, then they will think better about me. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. If I say sorry, they won't think I'm a selfish person who doesn't care. And that I'm just
late. If I say sorry, they'll know that I care.
If I say sorry, they'll know that I value their time. Like sorry is this all-encompassing word that kind of relays so much information to the other side through the, even though it's very subtle, it can relay something. And so if I just say sorry, and I think it's just because we're kind of taught, oh, when I say sorry, the other person feels better. That's that societal teaching. Like, look, they said sorry. And that's the other thing we do. We teach in that whole societal thing is it's like, look, you say sorry. Bobby says sorry to Billy. And Billy, now you feel okay about it.
Yep.
Even though Billy might not feel okay about what Bobby did.
Right. You have to accept the apology on the spot. There's no actual repair. It's just like this sweep under the rug. Sorry. Yes. Okay. Move on.
Yeah. What if we were just like, hey, listen, Bobby, you hurt Billy's feelings. You did this thing. You broke his toy. Maybe you should tell him something you're thankful to Billy for.
Yeah.
And maybe Bobby's like, hey, thanks for having me over to play today.
Right.
And then maybe Billy feels a little better about that instead of, sorry, I broke your toy, Bobby. You know, it's like, yeah, well, can't do anything about it. Glad I have to feel good about that. You know, it's like, so yes. it's this interesting expectation we have around apology and around forgiveness. And I believe apologizing and forgiveness are essential and crucial parts of being good humans. Mm. But I think that we use sorry too much, too often, and out of context. And I actually think it keeps us from some self-awareness. I really do.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
For instance, I had siblings who went to bed early into their teen years and had lots of shame and trouble around that. And my sister said she remembers just apologizing to my mom all the time. Like, I'm so, as an adult, even like, oh, I'm so sorry you had to change my sheets so often. I'm so sorry you had to change my sheets all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. Versus when, if you stop and you're just like, hey, thank you so much for changing all my sheets all that time. Like, that whole feeling is so different. It just makes you aware of like, hey, this person did something that was kind and beneficial to me versus this person had to do this slaving task for me.
Right.
There's a lot more awareness that comes when you kind of step out of that, right? Like when you can see, even often when we say, I'm sorry, I'm late, maybe what we actually are feeling is like, I'm embarrassed that I was late to this. If we're willing to be self-aware enough to be like, hey, I'm embarrassed that I was late. Thank you so much for waiting. That's just so much more honest and so much more aware.
And I wonder what that would be like on the receiving end for the recipient.
Right.
Because if I'm annoyed, let's say I am annoyed that someone's late.
Yep.
And they show up and say, sorry, then I have to say, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
That, even again, though you don't feel putting, it. Yep. Right. And I don't mean it because I'm just like, I'm annoyed you're late. Yeah. It's again, putting me in the position to take care of someone else.
Right.
Rather than if they're vulnerable and say like, hey, I'm really embarrassed. Thanks so much for waiting.
Yeah.
Then I can at least be like, well, okay, that's appropriate. They're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Great. And you're welcome for waiting.
Yeah.
Right.
And embarrassment's an interesting one too, because embarrassment, I think, and shame, when we aren't self-aware enough to unravel those two, often we're embarrassed, but we think it's shame, and shame is comes with that, like, I did something bad. Yes. Right. If we can unravel embarrassment and shame, because I think they're sometimes so tied together, because yeah. embarrassment doesn't feel great. It really doesn't, no, but it doesn't, but it's not shame. I'm bad. I'm bad.
I'm horrible because I'm late.
Yes. I'm a bad person for being late versus I'm just embarrassed that I'm late. Right. So if we can untangle those. So that's why the self-awareness around this, I think, is so important, because it does impact more than just, oh, I say sorry at the right or wrong times.
Sure.
It genuinely helps your self-esteem, and it will help you become more self-aware of what you're feeling and gives you an opportunity. Your learners know how to like surf emotions and things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gives you an opportunity to name emotions you're feeling and notice them. And, oh, why am I feeling that? It creates a whole different relationship with yourself and with the people that you're interacting with.
Mm.
It really does have that potential. Oh,
so beautiful. Okay. So I want to know, when would you say it's appropriate? When are sorries really good? When
really
are they
good.
Appropriate?
Yeah.
When is it like, this is needed? Because you're not saying never, ever say it. You're saying become more aware, which after we talk about when it's appropriate, I would love some tips on how do we build awareness
around that,
But talk to me about, when is it appropriate? When should we be saying, I'm sorry?
Yeah. I think honestly, kidshealth.net, like, I think has the best. I looked through lots of different ones because I thought my opinions, and then I researched some, and then I was like, nice. I think they have it so clear, because when you're talking to kids, you're clear. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And this is theirs. If you hurt, tease, insult, yell at, or disrespect someone, if you lose or break something of theirs, even if you didn't mean to, then you would say, I'm sorry I lost that, right? Or I'm sorry I broke your toy. Like, it would make sense to say, I'm sorry I did that.
Right.
But then maybe you'd say something after to follow up. If you were unfair or harsh in something you did, if you did something you knew was wrong, like telling a lie, hurtful comments, spreading a rumor, breaking a rule on purpose, or disrespecting your partner. I think when we really sit down to think when it's appropriate, there are pretty obvious times. I think they're muddled right now for most of us. We're going to be like, no, but this time, and it will feel appropriate to say it all the time. Sorry, just kind of become it's just appropriate and under all circumstances, but it's not really. And they have truly done studies that have proven the more you say sorry, kind of the lower the self-esteem often with that.
Wow.
So it's not that you should never say sorry and that your self-esteem is good if you never do, because that's really unfeeling.
But yeah, that's called narcissism.
It's not appropriate, but it's noticing when we use the word sorry appropriately, instead of like we talked about, just because the people pleasing or self-pity or societal, or using it to warrant some sort of someone telling us we're okay, right? Some reassurance.
Yes.
Like that does not help your self-esteem. That doesn't help you feel good about yourself. It's not working. It might feel like the right thing to do, but it's not working.
Yeah. And it may give temporary relief.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why we do it, right?
Because that's why we do it.
We have seen the temporary relief. We've felt the temporary relief, but it doesn't build connection.
Right.
It doesn't build our self-esteem. It doesn't build our ability to express ourselves and to be vulnerable and to truly get what we want, which is like, I want to know that we are okay in this relationship.
Yes. It also doesn't help you, like we've used the on time example a lot. There's a lot more, but it also doesn't help you be on time.
True.
Right? True. Like if saying sorry fixed this, all of us would be doing everything right.
Right.
It doesn't solve it. It doesn't help us problem solve it or come up with better solutions to some of the executive functions that we're struggling with. Right? We're aware of them. We're aware, most people are aware of a lot of the executive functions they're already struggling with, and it's already a challenge for them.
Yep.
And so, like you said, we want to be able to tap into, how can I be more open and honest and see and understand better? But when you say sorry when it's appropriate, I promise, when you're using sorry in the appropriate way, you and the other person will probably both feel better.
Yes.
That's the thing you want to really watch for. is you both will come away feeling better. And when you're saying thank you or not saying sorry at the appropriate time, you'll probably both feel better.
Yeah.
When we're using it the wrong way, no one really feels great.
Oh, that is so good. Okay, so tell me how we can build our awareness around whether or not it's appropriate to say sorry.
Yeah.
How do we start to build that for ourselves?
So I think you can ask yourself a series of questions to build some self-awareness. And this will take time. I mean, this is going to be trial and error in practice, of course. So one is like, is this my fault? Mm. Fault being I intentionally did something that was out of line or inappropriate. Okay. Another question to ask yourself is, could I say thank you instead?
Oh, I love that.
Right now. Would it be appropriate to say thank you instead? To ask yourself the question, do I need grace or forgiveness? Those are different. Okay.
Say more words about that.
Well, if you've done, this is kind of, we mentioned, if you've done all you can and you've still basically yielded like a negative result, even though you did what you could, right? You really need grace more than forgiveness.
Wow.
If that, does that make sense?
Yes. So what, how would you define grace? Just I'm really like, putting you on the spot here, but what would that look like to receive grace rather than forgiveness?
It's just more of asking more for compassion instead of forgiveness. So it'd be more of like, hey, can you hang in here with me? Wow. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's grace. Can you hang in here with me? Can you work through this with me? Or can you give me the time or space to? Like that's asking for grace over forgiveness.
Yeah. And I think another distinction with grace versus forgiveness is we don't need forgiveness for being human.
Yeah, right.
We do need grace though, because we do impact each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need grace and space and understanding and compassion with just like, yeah, you're a human. Like with Greg this morning, I could have asked for grace with like, I am so dysregulated and I am having so much trouble accepting the reality. And I know that's having an impact on you. And I just need some grace here to have the space to calm down and be okay.
Yes.
And if I need to apologize, I will think that through and circle back around with like, hey, sorry, I walked away from you. Next time I'm going to say like, I need a little space and grace here. Like I need to go take care of what's happening in my body. I'll let you know, right?
Yeah.
Like why I'm walking away. And I think that makes so much sense, asking for grace rather than forgiveness in some situations.
Yeah. And so that's a good question to ask yourself. Does this really warrant grace more than forgiveness? Mm. If you don't know why you're apologizing, like really ask yourself, do I know why I'm apologizing? If you don't know why, you probably shouldn't.
Don't do it.
Just don't. Even if in the end you come back to an apology at some point, wait till you actually understand why you're saying sorry. Like, why am I saying sorry? And get kind of clear on, if I don't really know why I am, oh, it's just instinctual. Someone bumps into me, I say sorry, it's instinctual.
Yeah.
I don't really know why I do it. Oh, now I know it's a cultural thing. Okay, well, I probably don't need to, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't know why, it's a good time to be like, if I don't know why, then I'm going to figure that out before I say sorry.
Oh, it's good.
Right? And just noticing too, am I trying to make someone feel better about themselves? That is different than, am I trying to do the appropriate thing? That is different than, am I saying this to try to make someone feel, that's the people pleasing, catch the people pleasing if you can. So those are just some questions that you can go through to help with some self-awareness around this. Just notice how much of a gut reaction it is and kind of what's pushing or pulling on that.
I just want to circle back to question number one, which was, is it my fault? And I think every ADHD or everywhere will say yes.
Yes.
And so I want to expand on that question and say, maybe it could be worded like, did I cross a boundary?
Yeah. Did I intentionally behave in a way that crossed a boundary?
Am I out of alignment with my morals, with my values?
Yes.
Right. Like,
I was about to say, is this a moral issue? Because so many things aren't a moral issue. We've created them into them.
Yeah. Our brains want to make everything a moral issue. And I do think that could go back to like our upbringing and
Yes.
But separating morality and pulling it out. So, coming back to the example of like Greg coming home to a messy house, dinner's not made. Is that a moral issue? No.
No.
Did I cross an ethical boundary? No. Did I do something out of alignment with my values? Well, my values are perfectionism. Yeah. So kind of.
Kind of.
But no, like there's like, right. I did not do anything wrong. I was parenting three children and like sometimes the house is messy. And if it happens now, there is no apology. But 15 years ago, me would have like, I'm so sorry you came home to a messy house. I'm so sorry dinner's not made. And again, he would look at me and just be like, I don't understand what's happening right now. Like, I don't need an apology. And it feels weird. And then I don't receive what I was looking for, which is the reassurance of like, no, you're good. It's fine. I totally understand. I'm going to be helpful. And like, let's just do it together. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Which I just should have asked for.
Right.
Hey, it's been a crazy day. Can you clean up and I will get dinner ready? Mm-hmm. Right. So like, that's so different. And that's so connecting. That's vulnerability.
Yes. It's way more connecting. Or if you did have a spouse who came home and was like, why the heck is the house a mess? Because a lot of us have, you know, things like that may happen. And if you're just like, I'm so sorry, I'm not the perfect wife who can't keep her house clean. Like that conversation is not going to bring any awareness, any bonding, any, right? Whereas if you can just be like, you don't even have to apologize. Even if your spouse is upset, you can be like, tell me, I can see that you're really upset about this. Tell me more. Like you can start and engage in a really beautiful conversation without being like, I'm so sorry. Right?
Yes.
It still can be a really great, vulnerable, open conversation without going there.
And then it circles around to grace.
Yes.
Hey, I was home with the kids all day. It was crazy. I just need some grace here. Is that something you can give me?
Right. Right. But it will open a more honest and authentic conversation, even if it's not a comfortable one, even if it doesn't go well. Sorry doesn't fix it all. Like just this placated sorry is not fixing issues. So I really don't want anyone to walk away and be like, well, we can never say sorry again. I just hope that your listeners will leave with an ability to really consider, when am I saying it and how am I kind of stripping my self-esteem a little bit or my self-worth or not noticing the way that I'm relying on others through the use of sorry.
And how much more impactful will our authentic sorries be?
Yes.
When we stop using that word in all of the different ways, culturally, people pleasing, all of the different ways that we have been using it.
Right. And it will impact how we teach our children and those around us.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully just help that next generation have a better grip, hopefully, of how to use that word and help them growing up.
So good. Thank you so much. This has been so insightful. Tell us who you work with and how we can find you. So I know that you coach people in their businesses, but you are so much more than a business coach. I just want to say, so much. And you have so much empathy and you have so much awareness around relationships and toxicity and all of the things. So who do you love working with and where can people find you?
I am a business coach, but I absolutely love working with anyone on anything. I enjoy coaching and the vulnerable experience that is so much and just really love being able to help someone see their mind and come up with ways that are so much more comforting and such a good solution for them. So my name is tricky to spell, but I'm at brianelliott.com and I am accepting general life coaching as well as business clients right now.
Oh, cool. Oh my gosh, that's great. We'll link all of that in the show notes. So
you link it all in.
Yeah. B-R-E-I-A-N.
That's right. Brian. That's it. Brian Elliott, two L's, two T's. So brianelliott.com is my website and you can always book a consult through that.
Yeah. Love it. I highly, highly encourage anybody who just feels like they need more support, who's looking for like one-on-one, specialized, really empathetic support, and also amazing business insight. You've seen me through every transition in my company, and I am so appreciative.
Thank you. It has been an honor and a privilege. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today, Kristen.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Hey, ADHDer, I see you. I know exactly what it's like to feel lost, confused, frustrated, and like no one out there really understands the way that your brain works. That's why I created Focused. Focused is my monthly coaching program where I lead you through a step-by-step process of understanding yourself, feeling better, and creating the life that you know you're meant for. You'll study, be coached, grow, and make amazing changes alongside of other educated professional adults with ADHD from all over the world. visit ihaveadhd.com/focused to learn more.